God was sending a judgment on them. And so he comes bringing a message as being called from God as a prophet. This is God's word for you and for me this morning, Jeremiah 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests who was in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, and until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until captivity of Jerusalem in the 5th month. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a youth,' for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." The Lord put out his hand, and he touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. I see, I have set you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build, and to plant." And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Jeremiah, what do you see?" And I said, "I see an almond branch." Then the Lord said to me, "You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it." The word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, "What do you see?" And I said, "I see a boiling pot facing away from the north." Then the Lord said to me, "Out of the north, disaster shall be let loose upon all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the tribes of the kingdoms of the north, declares the Lord, and they shall come, and every one shall set his throne at the entrance gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls, all around, against all the cities of Judah, and I will declare my judgments against them, for all their evil in forsaking me. They have made offerings to other gods, and they have worshipped the works of their hands. But you, dress yourself for work. Arise and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you." Let's pray. Father, your word is good and true. Your word, which was written long ago, speaks to us today. Guide us as we learn and grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Well, as the snow came, upwards basketball did not stop. If you don't know what upwards basketball is, is a Christian league. I believe it's nationwide, but they participates in different churches. It's a beginner league for sports, and they incorporate into all their practices and into all their games devotions and a form of outreach and prayer. But one of the things they do, which is really fun that my kids have enjoyed in the past, is they have a great entrance when you're at the basketball game. So if you haven't been, just show up for one of the entrances. It's pretty fun. But the kids don't come in right away and sit down, but they stand outside. So they'd be outside the doors now if this was the gym. And they play the startup music, which I didn't give to Mike ahead of time, so we're not going to have that. But it's something like, you know, the intro music to a big thing is like, dun, 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 dun. And you got a guy over here on the microphone, he's going on, "And now number 23, James Smith is coming." And they do that for all the kids. They're only five. So don't get me wrong, but they're calling their names out, and those kids are coming in, and they're proud, and they're like, "Yeah, we're here to play some ball." And they're being called into the game. They're being called in. They have a purpose. They're going to come strive to win that ball, to pass to their teammates, everything they've learned that week at practice. They're going to have good times. They're going to have bad times, hard times. They're being taught, but it's a fun thing, and they're being called in. As we look at this book of Jeremiah, he's not obviously being called into an upwards basketball game, but he's being called. He's being called in to give a message to people who are wayward from God, who have been following idols of the land. They've been putting things of the culture, that the culture worships, above things of God. They're involving their lives and following the patterns of this world versus being following what they've been called to, which is following the instructions of God. And so Jeremiah comes, he's called, and it says this. If you look at your scriptures, you can find verses there, but it even starts in verse 2, and it says, to whom the word of the Lord came, and he's called into it. He's calling him into this ministry. And you go, well, wow, I'm not called to be a prophet to the kings of the nation of Israel. And you go, how does this connect with me? But the reality is God has called us as believers in Christ, or he's calling you to seek him out and to know him. And so God calls his people to himself, you and I. God calls the ones that he is seeking to come to him. It says the sheep will know their shepherd. They'll hear the shepherd call. And so God is calling. And while we may not have the message of Jeremiah, we do have a message. God says he calls us. He calls us to first be in a relationship with him, then he also calls us to live out our lives as he has put before them, to glorify him and to enjoy him. And so as we come into this study of Scripture and we look at Jeremiah's call, know that we also have a call. Jeremiah had a call to be a prophet, to go and to witness and to call out the nation of Judah and to the nations around him who have not been following God. We have a call to take God's message to the places we work in Midlothian, the schools that we go to, the people that we engage. We have a call to bring God's message. And while we are not the same as Jeremiah in the specific call, we can relate to what is going on here, and it does apply to our life. And so if we look at the scripture and we start to pick it apart a little bit, if I had greeted you all at the door this morning and I'd said, give me your top five words to describe Jeremiah, that might have been a bit daunting. But just to tell you a little bit about who Jeremiah is and look at Jeremiah who. One is Jeremiah is a major prophet found in the Old Testament. We find in verses 1 through 3 that he was a son of a priest. And so he was brought up in a priestly line. So if you look at today, he's sort of a PK of sorts, a pastor's kid. But then he gets called to a different role. He gets called to be a prophet. And a prophet of a tough message. And so as we look at these verses in 1 through 3, we also learned just a little bit about timing. He comes in and says that to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, who was actually a good king of Judah. And it goes through and he enters into a time of prophesying for the next 40 years. It's a long time. And he had a tough message. But he wanted to make sure, as we look at this scripture, that people realize this is not his message. Four times in this chapter, he says, the word of the Lord came. So we find it in verse 2, to whom the word of the Lord came. And then we find it in verse 4. It says, now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, and then we find it again, then the Lord, in verse 11, the word of the Lord came to me. And then we find it again, in verse 13, the word of the Lord came to me a second time. And so Jeremiah is very clear. These are not my words. This is not my message. This is God of gods, the Lord of creation, who is sending a message and using me as a vehicle that I would proclaim the truth of what is about to happen, to call you to the truth of repentance. But the reality is God is getting ready to bring his judgment upon you. The other thing that's interesting about this book is Jeremiah actually gets to see the fulfillment of it. Many times in the Old Testament we know even in the New Testament, we haven't seen Christ come back yet. But Jeremiah sees the judgment come. Babylon comes and they attack and they destroy the land. And so we see just a little bit about who Jeremiah is. Jeremiah is raised in a priestly family that then becomes a prophet. Jeremiah has a tough message. His life will be in danger for the message that he has as he calls people. He's not one of those like, oh, everything's okay, you just be happy guys. That's not his message. The message is you're following idolatrous ways. You're following the ways of the world. You're not following the ways of God. God is going to bring his judgment upon you. And it's going to get intense. And so, in reality, he's a voice of accountability. It's not a word we may or may not use at different times, but who helps keep you in line might be a better way to ask that question. I hope, and I would challenge you, that if you're not a part of somebody who is asking you tough questions about how your life is in Christ, that you find that. Accountability is what the people that were in this area didn't get and didn't follow. They were following the ways of the world, and so they were going to reap God's judgment. But accountability is a good thing, as long as it's pointing you to God. And so I would challenge you, think about that. Who am I accountable to? Who's asking me the tough questions? Not just, am I praying, am I reading my Bible, am I being nice to my family? Those aren't bad. Expose to them your heart. What are the sins you really struggle with? And say, ask me about those every week. Expose to them, man, I'm in a position of power. All of us are in a position of power one way or another. We all have people that we influence. Am I abusing my power, or am I using my power to glorify God? Get the accountability that Jeremiah is sending out to these people, but they should have had it a long time ago. They should have been listening. Get people in your life to ask you tough questions. It's important that we have accountability. I was teaching in kids and choirs class this morning that why does God want us to be in the body of Christ? Why would we want to be around each other when we're so different and so all have different struggles and we probably annoy each other in different ways? Because we're called to come in and rub shoulders with each other and grow in each other and hold each other accountable and point each other to Christ. We're called to that. It's different than what America teaches, that we're supposed to be independent and alone and do it on our own. But we're called to color, to challenge and encourage each other in that. And so Jeremiah's coming in. He's got a hard message, one that will hold them accountable. He's being called. That's his setup. Nations around that aren't following God, and he's got a message to come bring them. And people aren't going to like him. And know there's two sides to accountability. One is receiving it. Jeremiah's giving it. I would encourage you to be on both sides of that coin. Be an accountability partner for somebody else, or an accountability group to something else. So you're helping hold somebody else accountable, because that'll help you grow on that side too. So there's an accountability that's taking place here. It's setting up. It's going to take 40 years, and it's going to see that God does hold truth to the reality. There are consequences to their sin. And so then we continue in verse 4. There's kind of two dialogues that follow with God and Jeremiah. These interactions that go back and forth. And one is a dialogue of great assurance, and the other one is a dialogue that shows God's power. And so if we look at verses 4 through 12, this is God and Jeremiah kind of going back and forth. And it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me," in verse 4, "before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." And so God's assuring him, I know who you are. I have the purpose for you. And here's the purpose you're supposed to co-carry out. And I don't have the exact how Jeremiah responded in his voice tone, but he says, "Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth." So he gets his assignment, and he comes back with an excuse. And the reality is, he may have been, we don't know his exact age, but he probably was young. And he hadn't had his preaching classes yet, or his prophesying classes yet. And he may not have had a lot of experience preaching, and the adults are going to listen to me? I mean, and I got to go somewhere else and travel around and tell people I don't know? So it comes back with an excuse. But in God's assurance, he comes back and says, "But the Lord said to me, don't say I'm only a youth, because it's really not about you, Jeremiah. I'm going to use you, but for all to whom I send you, you shall go. You're going to do what I ask, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. So don't be afraid. I'm going with you, and I'm going to guide you, and I'm going to tell you. Don't be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." And his Lord puts his hand on my mouth, and he touched it and said, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. I have set this day over the you over the nations, to pluck them, to bring them down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build a plan." And so, as you're looking at this playing out, he gets a hard call. He gets a hard assignment. But God says, I'm with you. This is not something I just made up last week at lunch. Before you were even born, I had this put into place, and I've set you apart, and I want you for this purpose, for this specific way, and I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to give you the words to say, and I'm going to guide you. He assures him. He knows him. He sets him apart. He even corrects his excuses. He's standing before the Lord God who says, I have a plan for your life. And he's saying, no, thank you. And he says, no, that's your excuse isn't valid. It's not good. And so God's assuring him over and over. God touches him. He puts words in his mouth. He gives him purpose for what he's supposed to do. God is watching over him. I went to Presbytery this week, which is a group of our sister churches in this area, and we examined different pastors who are coming in and do the business of the churches, and I got to hear a different pastor preach who's at All Saints Presbyterian, one of our sister churches, and he's a pastor of children's, and he said, you know, I've started this game with my daughter. My daughter's 1.5, and he says, I get down on my knees like this, and I put out my arms, and my daughter giggles, and she runs up to me, and I put my arms around her, and I tell her how much I love her. She laughs. I let her go. She runs away. And what does she do? She comes back again. Same thing over and over and over and over again. And what he's doing, what she's learning, is she has a father who loves her and assures her and will be with her and take care of her over and over and over again. And the excuses that she may give don't matter because he loves her and he's going to take care of her. And so as we think of this task, and the reality is God has a plan for you and me. God has called us to himself. God has called us to the Christian life. And when we start to focus like Jeremiah did in the beginning, which is on the task, I don't want to go preach. I'm way too young. We find excuses, don't we? God says, you can pick what you want. God says, love your brother and sister. That can be tough at times. Don't want to. I can find excuses. Do you know how annoying my brother and sister are? I'm the last of four. I was the annoying child, okay? I'm just going to tell you. We didn't have call waiting at that time, and we had a 10-minute deal on the phone. It was the landline. Then we had a 30-foot cord because my sisters would go take phone calls in the basement. And I was the timekeeper, self-appointed. 10 minutes on the dot. I was there. I'm sure it was hard, and I'm sure they told God, how in the world can I love my little brother at times? Because they focused on the task. Loving a coworker who might be annoying, who might be backstabbing, who might be manipulative. How do I love the coworker? I can't do that, God. How do I love these people, or how do I serve in ways that I can't do it? And when we start focusing on the task, like Jeremiah did, what do? We come up with excuses. And the reality is what we should focus on is who God is and what he's done and what he's going to do. And that's what God tells Jeremiah. When times are tough in our life and God still calls us to continue, we need to find rest in him. When we doubt, go back to what God says. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Insert your name. Before you were born, I consecrated you. And so, no, we're not a prophet to the nations in the sense of Jeremiah was. It was a specific call, but we are called with a message. And we are told to go. And we are called to share the love of Christ. So we do have a role, and we have a purpose, and we have a place, and God has put us in the places where we are to be that, but not to focus on, oh, how horrible is the task, but to focus on how wonderful is the God who's put me here and to share the love and the grace that he has given me that I might be a part of someone else's life. And so you have this dialogue, and it goes on a little bit more. It says, the word of the Lord is one of two visions that Jeremiah gets, and the word of the Lord came to me in verse 11. Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see an almond branch. And then the Lord has said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. And there's two ideas here. One is the almond branch can be a rod, and God is going to send his discipline, which would fill that. And the other is the idea that the almond, the word in the Hebrew, means that God is watching over you. And so you see that not only has God prepared him from the very beginning, consecrated him, set him apart, but that God is watching over him and is going to watch over him as he goes. And God is watching over you and me. And God has sent us where we are to be that we might be the light for who he wants us to be in Christ. And so we can find comfort and assurance as we run to God in our struggles that he's going to tell us he loves us and take care of us and grow us. Because he is the God who's put us where we are to serve him in that way. The second dialogue comes out in verse 13. It says, the word of the Lord came to me a second time and said, what do you see? And he said, I see a boiling pot facing away to the north. And then the Lord said to me, out of the north, disaster shall be let loose upon all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the tribes, so all the nations from the north will come down and attack and take over the cities and set up their own kingdoms and set up their own walls, their own cities. And so God is giving Jeremiah a vision of what is to happen, the judgment that is to take place. And the interesting thing about water, and you've probably seen pictures of tsunamis or whatever, is that it just permeates everything, floods that you have. And so God's showing they're going to come. They're going to wipe you out. It's not like this wall is going to keep it over or whatever. And so you have God sending this message that he has. And it's a tough message, like I said. He's not going to be liked for 40 years. People are not going to like the message that he brings. But then God goes on, and in verse 17, you see a contrast. And it says, but you, Jeremiah, dress yourself for work. Arise and say to them everything that I've commanded you. You, Jeremiah, get your work clothes on because we're getting ready to get busy. You're going to work with me and for me. Get ready to go work. Most of you know, if I had a red bucket right here and rang a bell, you'd know what I was doing, Salvation Army, right? Salvation Army was created in England, I believe, in the 1800s, but they had a whole uniform, and the whole idea is we're going to war for God. We're going to serve him. They had a uniform. That's what this is getting at. Get ready to go. We're going to work for God. Get ready. Here we go. And it says, get dressed. Get ready to go. Here we're getting into the challenge. Don't be dismayed by them. Unless you're not going to follow me, and then I will dismay you before them. And behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and its people. And so God's building him up and showing that what he is going to do for Jeremiah, not what Jeremiah is going to do for himself. They will fight against you because they won't like your message, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord. So we have this picture of Jeremiah taking a message that can and will be tough to receive. And he has a hard task about him. But we also have the assurance that God says, I'm going to go with you. I am taking down the enemies, not you. I will be with you, and they won't prevail against you. They won't overcome you, declares the Lord. And I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. And so if you look at that passage, how does that relate to us? We don't have the message of Canada coming down to overflow Richmond and invade us because we're living idolatrous lifestyles from the north. But we do have a different message, don't we? That Christ calls us to walk in as believers. We have a message that Christ loves us. He came and died for us, and that is to go out into the nation. And we have the assurance that he will go with us. Matthew 28 says, go and make disciples. But on the bookend says, you're going to go with my power and I'm going to go with you. He says, we are to be lights of the world. We are to be ambassadors to the nations. We have been called to him to proclaim, called out of darkness and into light to proclaim his excellencies to those who are around us. We're to love the widow and the orphan. We are people who are called to protect the weak as the body of Christ. We are to be messengers for him. We're to be messengers in our house. We're to be messengers to our family members. We're to be messengers to our neighbors. We have news to bring, and God commissions us to take it. I want to say, first of all, on this last point, thank you for everybody, and I'm really excited, and so is our staff. We went to two Christmas concerts this year on purpose because 400 people didn't fit in here. And we had over 600 people, and we asked you guys to invite, and you did. And we had a lot of people came, and we took tickets to the high school and to the middle school, and we took tickets to the elementary school. And we said, come, we got a really awesome way to celebrate Christmas this year. Come be a part. And what a blessing to have the people of our community come be a part and celebrate with us. And then we said, you know what, we appreciate our teachers, and so we made boxes at our gingerbread event, and we took 80-plus boxes over to all the teachers at Watkins, and we said, hey, thank you for being teachers in our community. We love you. Appreciate what you did. We'd love to have you come across the road and visit us anytime you want. So I want to say thank you, because what you're doing is exactly what we just described. You're taking the message of Christ to our neighbors, to our communities. But I don't want you to stop. You probably saw them this morning, two baskets. You probably walked past them. But I want to give you a really easy way to continue to say we want to be known in the community because we have something to offer the community, which is the love of Christ, and we have a message for the community. These are just business cards. They have our sign on them from outside. So somebody drives down the road and they have this card, they can, you know, match it and look the same. It has our service times and it says, come worship with us. Because we have something to offer, don't we? We have the love of Christ. We have the assurance of Christ. We have the message that we are the lights of the world, not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ has done. And so we have a challenge. And I encourage you to be a part of that challenge, to continue to take Christ's message that we've been called to our nations, in the same way that Jeremiah took the message that he was called to the nations where he was at his time. Be encouraged. In the same way, God said, hey, Jeremiah, I knew you in your womb. God knows us that way. In the same way that God said, I have a plan for your life, God knows us that way. In the same way that God says, when you go out, I'll give you words to say and things to speak, God says, I'll do that for you through the Holy Spirit. In the same way that God says, I will go before you, Jeremiah, and you will not be defeated, we are not defeated by this world. God is with us, for us, around us, walks with us, prepares our interactions on purpose. He has called us to the good works laid out before us in him, Ephesians 2:10. We are to go serve in the workmanship that he has placed before us and he has prepared before us. Be encouraged this morning. Jeremiah was called. He was called with a tough call. We are called as well. But it's not the call that should encourage us. It's the one who calls us, the one who loves us, the one who prepares us, the one who says, I have a message and a purpose for you, and I have prepared you for this. Go. Take my message. I will be with you. I will watch over you. I will prepare you. I will give you strength because I have forgiven you, and you are mine. Know that you are called as Jeremiah was called in your own message. Let's pray. Father, it's tough at times to recognize your hand upon us. And sometimes we want our call to be super, just out of this world. And what you say is, I want you right where you are. And if we dwell on that, to think that the God of all the universe, the God of all creation, has called us to be a light and an ambassador right where we are, in the mundane of life, in the reality of Midlothian, that we can share the love and the power that we have been shown, that is an awesome call. Jeremiah took a tough message to the world. Father, help us to own the message that is truth and love. That can be a tough message, but we look to you to help us to show it to open hearts, to help it apply it to our own heart and to those who are around us. In Jesus' name, amen.